Let's give him a landmark welcome right now as he comes to deliver the word of God.
Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't Jesus precious? I say, isn't Jesus precious? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's altogether lovely. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to come into the presence of God. Amen. Tonight being Tuesday night, being Bible study night. Amen. I spoke with the pastor earlier, and he asked me if I would speak on a subject tonight. Amen. A subject to instruct. A subject to encourage. Amen. The Word of God tells us that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen. And the Word tells me if we lack wisdom, we can ask of the Lord, and He'll graciously, amen, impart wisdom unto us, as long as we're not a double-minded person, as long as we're not wishy-washy, amen, as long as, amen, we're not blown of every wind of doctrine, as long as we'll become rooted and grounded in the faith, amen, and sound in doctrine, then the Lord, amen, will give wisdom, and He'll give understanding, and He'll give knowledge. Amen. Therefore, we say, amen, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Amen. We must know, amen, whom we serve. Amen. We must know, amen, the mind of God. We must know, amen, the will of God. Amen. And how can you hear without a preacher? Amen. So you pray for me tonight, amen, for my voice. We'll see which will run out first. These pages are my voice. Praise God. It's just been a couple weeks ago that I could hardly speak above a whisper. And there's nothing worse than when you want to say something for God and you don't have the vocal cords to do it. Amen. So count your blessings. Amen. But tonight, amen, Brother Jeremy can help me. We're going to start with 2 Timothy, verse 4 and 18. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to talk tonight about a subject called end time distractions. Now, we don't want to miss it. End time distractions is what we're going to speak of tonight. On one part, and the other part is going to be and the end time position of the church. Amen. We're going to talk about end time distractions, and we're going to talk about end time, amen, position of our church. I'm not going to speak tonight about the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven last plagues, or the battle of Armageddon. I am going to speak to you against letting these things worry and distract you from being the witness, the soul winner, and the Christian that Jesus desires us to be. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. End time distractions. 2 Timothy 4 and 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Good scripture to start out with tonight. God shall deliver me, for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. And I'll not fear, thank you, brother, what man can do unto me. I like the word of God. It says, amen, do not fear those that can kill your body. But we do. But fear not those that can kill your body, but then have no more that they can do to you. But rather tonight we should fear him that is able to cast both your body and your soul into hell. I say to you, fear him. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Be on guard against any doctrine relative to the coming of the Lord that isn't supported strongly in the Scriptures. There's fads, there's predictions, there's dates, there's settings, there's etc. Amen. And they all, hallelujah, are part of this end time, amen, distractions. The apostles knew of these things, even in their day, amen, about the end of time. But when we encounter these manifestations of the end time distractions, we should take the attitude that Jesus took when he spoke to us and said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled when you hear of all these things that's going to come upon the earth. Famines, pestilences, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars. We're living in times that men's hearts will fail them because of fear. But, amen, the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. Fear in the natural hath torment. Fear causeth torment. In perfect love is not made perfect in fear. Amen. Tonight, we should only fear, amen, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We should honor Him. We should lift Him up. The fear that we should have for Him is a fear of awe, a fear of love, amen, of devotion. I'm glad that our God is a loving God. I'm glad that He loved us, amen, and gave His life for us. And I'm glad He's not a vindictive God that's seeking to destroy us. But God would that all men would be saved. If God be for us, who can be against us? End time distractions. God's word foretells of false doctrines relative to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and other distractions that can cause us trouble, cause us fear and worry. Since Christ wants us to live quiet, untroubled, sincere lives in the midst of end time storms. Amen. I think of the word that Jesus said, that in this life you shall have trials and tribulations and persecutions. But in the midst of that, at the same time, in Jesus, we can have peace, love, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the midst of our trials, our tribulations, and our persecutions. Amen. We must not allow things to distract us and to trouble us. When such disturbing occurrences develop, God's Word instructs us how to handle them. Now, see, we can go to the Word of God and we can be taught and get an understanding of what God's purpose is for our lives and at these end times. I have four examples here. The first example is in Paul's day, Paul speaks and says that there are those that distract and at trouble and that try to preach another gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, Paul speaks and says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that have called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Amen. "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And again I say unto thee, amen, if any man come preaching any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Though an angel from heaven come preaching or teaching any other thing than what the Word of God says, let that one be accursed." So Apostle Paul begins to tell us right off, even back in his day, there were those that was coming in and was beginning to teach the church a doctrine contrary, amen, to the Word of God in the New Testament under the plan of salvation, under grace. And it says that in the early church, they faced the dilemma over circumcision. And they settled the matter quickly. The apostles settled the matter quickly, amen, so that the body of Christ would not be troubled. Acts chapter 15 verse 24, I say the apostles nipped this thing in the bud. "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." Amen. We need to be bold in the Word of God. And if someone tries to teach you something false or someone tries to tell you something that's not in the Word of God, we have the right to be bold. We have the right to stand up. We have the right to rebuke that person. Amen. Because it is not God's will for us to be troubled in our souls, in our mind, you see, with worry, depression, anxieties. Amen. Example two, some think a forged letter, a false letter, some think that there was a forged or false letter sent to the Thessalonica church under the guise of being sent from Paul. There's those that believe that there was a false letter sent to the church there. And if such a letter did exist, and if such a letter was sent, apparently it had some type of spirit, rumor, amen, or other to affect the church. And Paul, he now, amen, he lays to rest this disconcerting matter. Paul establishes the fact that before the day of Christ can come, certain events which he clearly outlines must transpire. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 1, we're going to be going through 17. See, now the Word of God is pure, and the Word of God is holy, and the Word of God is precious. Amen. And we need to get our hearts and our minds on God and hear the Word of God that's able to save your soul, that's able to give you peace, love, and joy. Amen. Because Paul said that apparently there was those that went to the Thessalonians and began to teach the Thessalonians a false doctrine. And it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in your mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word, nor by the letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Amen. Now Paul, he's addressing the Thessalonians saying, now listen, amen, they're bringing in a false, amen, doctrine concerning the day of Jesus Christ, concerning the coming of the Lord. He says, but now I'm going to expound to you, and now I'm going to explain to you that that day of Christ cannot come. Now, we believe that day of Christ, that day of the Lord, amen, is the rapture. We believe that it's the coming of the Lord is the rapture. We also speak of it as the second coming of the Lord, amen. But, amen, they were beginning to teach, amen, it says, who oppose and exalt themselves above all that is called gods, or that is worshipped, so that as he, as God, sitteth in the temple, amen, of God, showing himself to be God. He says, this day of the Lord cannot come until, amen, this one reveals himself. Next verse. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work, only he who will now let will let until he's taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the works of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceitfulness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause shall God send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are not bound to give, or but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation, amen, through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtain, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us, amen, everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Amen. There was coming in a false doctrine saying that the coming of the Lord, amen, was going to happen at that point in time. But here Apostle Paul establishes the fact that the day of Christ cannot come until certain events which are clearly outlined must transpire. The day of the Lord will not come until there's a great falling away, and until that son of perdition, amen, is revealed, that wicked one is revealed, amen, whom the Lord himself, amen, will consume, amen, on his coming. Amen. The word tells us that the day of the Lord is not going to transpire until, amen, the Antichrist is revealed. Amen. This is good to understand and good to know. Amen. Remember Jesus' attitude about the end time. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Amen. Our day is full of those who discover the beast in every popular world leader. Now, we know this. Now, is President Obama, is he the Antichrist? Or was it Bush the Antichrist? Or, amen, maybe it's Gaddafi. Maybe he's the Antichrist. Amen. But there are those that are always comparing the beast to the different world leaders. Amen. They set dates for Jesus Christ's return. But yet the Word of God tells me no man knows the day nor the hour that the Lord's returning. But people set dates and times. They scare people with every Middle East development. Every time, amen, anything happens over there, people are saying, this is it. This is it. Amen. They interpret treaties as the ultimate final answer. They make computers the beast. They use every 666 they see to frighten people. Take alignment of the planets and the greenhouse effect as the final sign of his return. Amen. Global warming. Amen. But the Word of God tells me all these things will pass, and yet the time is not yet. And on they parade and they deceive much. Clear-cut Bible signs and truths must be preached. Amen. Now, we are for the Lord, and we are for the Word of God, and we are for preaching the truth. But playing on people's emotions and using scare tactics only produce an attitude of trouble, which Jesus does not want to have in this end time. How many times have we heard over the years all the different things? Well, this is a sign of his coming. He's coming now. Amen. But, amen, the Lord's coming in a day and an hour that you think not. Amen. When they cry, peace, peace, sudden destruction. As a result of such antics, people are delusioned, they're discouraged, and they discredit the ministry. You can only scare people for so long. You can only get people to come to church out of fear that the end of time's coming, and the battle of Armageddon's coming, and the Antichrist is here. And after a while, it becomes commonplace to people, and they don't pay any attention to what you're saying. Amen. Jesus is coming. Heaven is real. Jesus does save from sins. And these and other precious truths are indisputable. And dare we preach less than that? But then do we need to preach more? Amen. The Word of God tells me in the book of Revelation that if anyone would add unto the words of this book, the Lord will add the plagues thereof to that person. And if anyone, amen, takes away from the words of this book, then the Lord will take away his right to the tree of life. Amen. So we don't want to add to the Word of God. And we don't want to take away from the Word of God. Amen. But we want to know what thus saith the Lord. Example 3 is persecution and suffering was the lot of the New Testament believers. Back after Christ was crucified and resurrected, amen, and the church was established, they suffered much persecution. And New Testament believers along, amen, many generations. Apparently some were allowing distractions of their day to remove them from the faith. Opposition and conflicts create an environment that is disconcerting and troubling to the saints of God. However, with a child of God, amen, if a child of God does suffer for righteousness, he is counted blessed. He is not ashamed or troubled, for the Spirit of the glory of God rests upon him. Even in the day, amen, of the apostles, people begin to be distracted. People begin to be falling after other doctrines. Amen. But the Word of God tells me that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to go looking for it. Amen. Amen. If you love God, then the world hates you. That's something you need to establish in your mind right away. Amen. Because, amen, the world hates God. I said the world hates God. And if the love of God is in you, if Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And if they did to me what they did to me, they're going to do the same to you. Amen. You need to realize we're in the world but not of the world. Therefore, the world hates us. Amen. And if you're having, amen, fellowship with the world, then the love of God is not in you. And you need to re-examine yourself and come out from among them and be a separate and be a holy. Hallelujah. But if you suffer as a Christian, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Amen. But and if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Look at that scripture. Amen. Having a good conscience. That's fine, brother. We'll go back to it. Amen. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. The verse back before that. Amen. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. God expects us to be able to witness, and He expects us, amen, to be able to tell folks of the reason of the hope that's in us. Amen. If you don't know what you believe, amen, if you aren't establishing this truth, and I'll say this, if you haven't heard it here, you're not going to hear it anywhere. Amen. If you haven't heard the apostolic faith doctrine here, amen, you're not going to hear it. Amen. We do have a doctrine. We do have a teaching. Amen. And we do preach and teach Acts 2:38. Amen. We do believe in repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues and Spirit giveth utterance. Amen. That is our foundation. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Amen. And so, but if you suffer for doing good, amen. Let's go with 1 Peter 2 and 21. Amen. For he, even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Amen. And 1 Peter 4, 14 through 16. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Amen. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Amen. And 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Amen. To be not ashamed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection and ascension, apparently, amen, the disciples were troubled over their future. Amen. When Jesus Christ had walked with them and talked with them, but most assuredly, amen, in the view of the coming events, that when Jesus would no longer be with them in the flesh, amen, they had fears. But he exhorted them to believe in him on his return, and then he describes, amen, what awaits them in the future. If you could go to John 14, 1 through 7. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. And the way you know, amen. Go ahead to the next verse, brother. Amen. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Amen. This is the promise, amen, that Jesus Christ is giving unto us. Amen. That we need not to fear, that we need not to dread, but God has made us a promise. He said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you, and I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now that's the kind of God that I want to serve. I want to serve the kind of God that I can have faith in, and I can have trust in, and I can have hope in. And though I were dead, yet shall I live. Hallelujah. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? Amen. I tell you tonight, church, amen, to be present in our body is to be absent from Christ. But when one day I'm absent from this body, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing able to separate me from the love of God. Amen. I am persuaded, amen, that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature is going to be able to separate me from the love of God. Amen. This is the kind of faith we need. Amen. We need the kind of faith, amen, that we know there's not anything that could separate us from the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' ascension, which had to occur in order for the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to be sent back, amen, was a preparation of the eternal abode, amen, that coming again, we should not be troubled in our spirit or in our hearts or in our minds. And with many other words, amen, the Lord, amen, has exhorted us to not to fear. If you go to 2 Thessalonians 1 through 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this time we're going to go to end time positions of the church. Now, we spoke about, amen, I'll get my notes right. We spoke about the end time dispensation and the worries. But now, here's the church's, amen, position. Along with committing our lives to the Lord in what we do every day, we are not to be troubled over current events. We are to... One, we're to use the talent that Christ has given us to our fullest potential while waiting for his return. Amen. Now, this is the position that the church should take at the end time. Amen. We should use our talents for the Lord. We should take heed to ourselves, lest our hearts be overcharged with serving drunkenness and the cares of this life. Luke 21, 34 and 35. The Word of God says, amen, and to take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts should be overcharged with surfeiting or drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon all them that dwell on the whole face of the earth. We can't let the cares and the pleasures and the trials and the tests of this life overcome us and miss out on the coming of the Lord. Amen. Many people, amen, the Word talks about those, amen, the seed of God, amen, was sown, and it fell among the thorns, and it fell among the briars, and the cares of and pleasures of the life choked out the word, and it didn't bring forth any fruit. Amen. And so the position of the church is, we're always supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be waiting upon the coming of the Lord. Amen. And we're to remain alert. We're to remain watchful. We're to be looking for the Lord's return. We should watch and pray for two important things to develop in our lives. In Luke 21 and 36, the word says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." Amen. "That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Amen. We should be accounted worthy to escape all the things that's coming upon the earth. And we should be accounted worthy to stand before the Son of God. Five, we should occupy ourselves until He comes. We should be busy at the Lord's work. Six, we should remain patient until His coming, constantly watching and waiting for His return. In Hebrews 9 and 28, amen, the Word of God says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for Him shall He appear the second time unto us without," amen, "with sin, without sin, unto salvation." Amen. And then James 5, 7, and 8. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. You also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Amen. It's the Word of God that's going to give us comfort. It's the Word of God that's going to give us peace. In Titus 2 and 13, it says we're to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As overcomers, we should overcome the world, we should overcome the flesh, and overcome the devil. And there's seven promises in the Word of God, amen, that we should look to for an encouragement. And they are, one is to eat of the tree of life. Two is not to be hurt of the second death. Three is to be able to eat the hidden man of the Lord. Four is to be given the power over the nations. These are things that we should look forward to. Five, to be clothed in white raiment, and that our names should not be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And six, amen, we should be made to be a pillar in the temple of our God. And seven is to grant us to sit with Him in His throne. Amen. These numerous scriptural instructions above relate to the position of God's church as she awaits the return of the bridegroom. Amen. God wants us to be busy in His work and unhampered by the events of the end time. That's what we're speaking of tonight. Distractions of the end time. We are to be in fellowship and unashamed, and we are to declare His word until the day of our departure. Amen. And in summing it up in reflections, amen, God's word is distinct in telling us what our attitude should be during the emerging crisis, particular to the end time. Never should we be caught up so much in the future events until we forget the present and fail in our mission. And our mission is to be witnesses. Our mission is to be soul winners. And we should never let, amen, the end time, amen, frighten us, amen, distract us to the point that we don't fulfill the Lord's commission. Much of what happens will be beyond our control. We cannot change the present or the future by worrying and being troubled over it. Amen. If you would turn now to Matthew 6, 25 and 34. The Word of God says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, This is Jesus speaking to us. Amen. We're in the day of time of worry. We're in a day of time of, are we going to have a job tomorrow? We're in a day of time, are we going to have shelter tomorrow? We're living in perilous times. Amen. There's no security. Amen. There was a time a man could get a good, decent job, and he would be able to spend his whole career at that one job, knowing that someday he'd have retirement. Amen. And that he would have security. Well, in this life, folks, there is no security. In this life, we can't depend on the job. We can't depend on our own strength. Amen. It's not by strength and it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. We got to put all of our faith and trust in Him. And therefore, the Lord speaks and says, amen, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You hear that? Easy to say. It's hard to do, folks. Amen. A man worries about his children. He worries about his wife. He worries about if they're going to be fed and clothed and sheltered. But yet God says, take no thought even for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet even for your own body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, meat, and your body more than raiment, clothing? Behold, the fowls of the air. Now see, the Lord's given us an example. Even the birds of the air, they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Are we not more to God than the birds and the beasts of the field that God provides for? Now listen, Jesus says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? My understanding is a cubit's 18 inches. Now if I could add 18 inches to my height, amen, thank you, Jesus. But it isn't going to happen, folks. Amen. And why take you thought for raiment? Why take thought for your clothes? Consider the flowers, the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Think of that. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow it's cast into the oven, tomorrow it's bread, shall not He much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I find out that when you get to the end of your rope, then you'll start trusting in God. Amen. It shouldn't be that way. We should put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ first. But as a young man, a young woman, especially say a young man in society is taught, you're going to do it by your own strength. You're going to do it by your own might. You'll fight your way through it. You'll work your way through it. You'll make a way out of your own strength. But that thing is not so. Therefore, take no thought, saying what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or wherewithal you shall be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the sinner man. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now hear that? God knows you need these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's the secret to it, folks. Take therefore no thought, here's tough, for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. But sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day. We're not supposed to worry about tomorrow. We're supposed to only concern ourselves for today. And then considering that, we're supposed to put Jesus Christ first today. And we're supposed to put His kingdom ahead of us and our faith in Him. And then God made a promise. Does God keep His promises? That song, I'm an on-time God. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Amen. I heard him say, he's never too early. He's never too late. He's just on time. He's on time when I reflect back. During my crisis, I'm wondering where He's at. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Amen. Amen. All God for the faith. Amen. It was once delivered to the saints. Thank you, Jesus. The harder the persecution, the greater the faith. you'll find in your life when it gets really tough, you'll have more faith than you thought you had. Amen. And so God has to prove us as silver and gold through a furnace. Amen. Jesus Christ himself, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He was a man, amen, of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. And I say, if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we're also going to suffer. But it's better to suffer as a Christian than as a wicked person. If you suffer as a Christian, as we said, you're going to receive a reward. But if you suffer as a wrongdoer, then you're getting your just desert, and you deserve it, and you should quietly bear it. But God has made us many promises. And here he tells us that he's going to provide for us. So the Word of God says that. And we're living in a day and a time that you better stand on it. Amen. Because there may come a time, amen, that in order for you to have food for that day, or shelter for that day, or clothing for that day, it's going to come from God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The truth is, it always has come from God. But we just didn't realize it. We take God for granted. Amen. Troubled minds and spirits occupied with current events have no room for noble ideas, for plans, for goals, and to take root and to grow. If our pastor was concerned with the things of this life, he would never have the vision of a new sanctuary. He'd never have a vision of 1,000 souls. He would be completely, amen, bound in worry and in fear of today, of the signs of the times. Amen. He would be overwhelmed. And so praise God that we have a leadership. Amen. We have a ministry. Amen. That has a vision. And we can catch hold of that vision. And we can be participators. And we can be helps. And we can, amen, support the ministry. And support the work of the Lord. Amen. The more you support that work of the Lord, amen, the more the Lord's going to take care of you. Amen. Did you hear what I just said? Amen. You can't outgive God. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Amen. You can't outgive the Lord. But if you're worried about current events, you're not going to be able to plan. You're not going to be able to have wonderful ideas in the Lord. Gloom and doom are so prevalent in some people's minds, until they fear to even begin to have a family, they fear to even build a house, they fear to even plant a crop, amen, they have no hope, amen, of any worthwhile achievements. But we got to remember tonight, church, you can stand, amen, we got to remember tonight that God still rules in the kingdom of man. I said, God still rules. If we observe the wind and the rain and the storm, we're never going to sow. We're never going to reap. Now is not the time, amen, to fear. But now is the time to cast your bread upon the waters, and it shall return unto you not many days hence. Amen. When the outlook is troubling, we need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And I thank you tonight, and I hope, amen, that this will encourage us. It's encouraged me. Amen. I appreciate the pastor giving me the opportunity to speak to you all. Amen. But you see, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. Amen.
Praise the Lord, church. You know, as Brother Harris was speaking, I was reminded of a story that was told years ago. There was a classroom of young students, and they was in their reading class, and the teacher asked for each student to draw a picture that depicted peace, that depicted solitude, that depicted comfort. And there was many students that began to draw fields with sunshine and flowers and trees growing huge and sitting underneath the tree in the shade. But there was one student that drew a picture. And on the picture, she drew the side of a mountain, the side of a cliff. And in that cliff was a little hole, kind of like a cave, barely big enough to fit in. And there was a little bird that was perched just on the inside of this cave. On the picture on the outside of the cave, the storm was crashing down. Lightning and thunder was all around as the wind began to whirl, as the rocks began to shake. But yet this little bird had found peace and solitude in this little crevice on the edge of the cliff. Landmark, just because you have the Holy Ghost, just because you've been baptized in Jesus' name, does not mean that the world is going to be hunky-dory from this day on. Times are going to come against you. Trials and tribulations are going to hit you right between the eyes. But you know what? Since we have the Holy Ghost, since we know the name of Jesus Christ, even though the storm may pound, even though the rain may fall, and it seems like floodwaters can rise before you have time to move, we have the peace and solitude in just the name of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a scripture in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8. It said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Paul was talking about a thorn in the flesh. He talked to God three times about it. How many of you have gone to the Lord many times over one need? As Brother Harris has already said, the song said, "He may not come when you want him, but guess what? He is always there on time." The next scripture says, "And he said unto me," God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Many of you have asked God over the years for a testimony. Many of you have asked God over the years for something that you're able to tell your friends, your coworkers, your family members even about, that can strengthen them, that can help them. But let me tell you this. Rather, let me ask you this. Can you have a testimony if you've never gone through anything? Can you be a witness if you don't even know how God's able to bring you through? That's the question. You see, that's what God wants to get across to His people. What we have to do is hold strong. Just hold fast. Stand still and see the salvation of Christ. For God's able to heal. God's able to touch. God's able to mend the families back together. But what we have to do is have faith in Him that He can do it. How many of you want to have that faith? Paul realized what God was trying to say. He realized that God was only trying to build him up higher. God was only trying to give him the testimony that so many wanted. When Paul realized it, that was truly when God was able to begin His work. And I believe that tonight, Brother Harris, that was absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for bringing the Word of God to us. I believe that tonight God is working in someone's life. So I'd like to ask right now for everyone's head to be bowed, every eye closed, oyster tight, as we just say a word of prayer before we're dismissed tonight. Holy Ghost Jesus. Mighty God. Mighty God, Let's just tell God right now that whatever may come our way, I'm not moving, Lord. God, I welcome it. I welcome it, dear Jesus. God, because I can grow through this. I can make it. The Word of God says that He would not place more on you than you are able to bear. Sweet Jesus. Mighty God. Just begin to talk to Him right now. Call out to that name right now. Give it to God and let Him take care of the situation. Let Him take care of the problems. He's there for it. He sees every tear that falls. He hears every prayer that's lifted. Holy Ghost, sweet Jesus. Mighty God, we come into Your presence right now, dear Lord. God, know in Jesus that You're able. God, giving You praise and glory and honor already, dear God, for the ways that You have met the needs before in the past. Holy Ghost, sweet Jesus, we give it to You, Lord, to do as You see fit, dear God, knowing, dear Lord Jesus, that whatever the outcome may be, dear God, You have made us a better person. Lord Jesus, I thank You for the testimony that You're trying to build in our life. I thank You, dear Jesus, for the anointing that You're trying to place upon my shoulders. Holy Ghost, sweet God, I pray right now, Jesus, that You would give my brothers and my sisters strength, dear Lord. God, Jesus, to go through life, dear Lord, to be more than overcomers, dear God, to be conquerors, dear Jesus. And we give You praise and glory and honor in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. You may be dismissed tonight, but as the week goes, remember that God's building a testimony.